Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the best Packer radio show on the internet.
Cheesehead Radio.
I want to be a lifetime
Cheesehead
Green Bay Packer.
You're looking good today.
Look out here, what's that ass?
Aaron Rodgers is the best football player I've ever seen, ever.
Aaron Rodgers goes deep on second and two. He's got to leap in Devontae Adams.
He's a man.
More pressure, ball is out. Green Bay got it.
He's that family.
Daniels again.
Let's make no mistake about it. This game is won and lost up front.
Hey, let's go. Dominate on three. One, two, three. Dominate.
Cheesehead Radio.
Hello again, Cheesehead Nation, and Happy New Year to you all. We are back for another edition of Cheesehead Radio. Hopefully, if you had a rough night and you had a rough morning, you've recovered by now and are ready to listen to the dulcet tones of our host tonight, which are, as always, the re-energized CD Angeli, known as Tundra Vision on Twitter, the reinvigorated Kelly Hodgson, known as That Packer Girl on Twitter, and little old me, Jersey Al of Packers Talk and Cheesehead TV. As always this year, sponsoring the Packers Talk Network were our good friends at Ticket King, who've been selling Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucks, and concert tickets in Wisconsin for over 25 years, and have earned a reputation for excellent customer service and prices. Be sure to check out their website, theticketking.com. That takes care of the formalities. Now let's get this show on the road.
Who moves my cheese?
All right, Packer Nation, welcome to the end of the regular season, and unfortunately, the end of the season. We're not used to this happening, but it's been 2 years in a row, the Green Bay Packers not making the playoffs. Very unusual for us Packer fans, and boy, playing against the Lions at home, you kind of thought at least we'd go out with a little bit of a bang, but it was a whimper, a shutout at home at Lambeau Field, crushing for Packer fans around the nation. We're going to give you right now who moved our cheese. First of all, our sharp cheddar, the excellent crowd-pleasing favorite, my sharp cheddar this week, Pepper Burris. Nah, I know he's not a player, but you know what? He's going to be one of the few people on the coaching staff this year who's going to leave of his own accord. He's a long-serving athletic trainer. He's been a great guy. Retired of his own accord after Sunday's game. Hats off to Pep.
Good timing, Pep.
All right. I'm going to give the sharp cheddar this year, or this week rather. Sorry, head cold's getting my brain. To the 2019 offseason. The 2018 season was quietly euthanized like a rabid dog. And we have our chance to mourn, but there's that prospect of a new puppy in the spring, and I'm really optimistic that 2019 will be better. So the off season is my sharp cheddar.
Okay, it's kind of hard to dole out sharp cheddar to anyone after the debacle of last week's game. So I'll go with two guys who go out there every week in, week out, do their jobs well, quietly, and without fanfare. Blake Martinez and Corey Lindsey.
That was our sharp cheddar. Now we're going to move on to our Swiss cheese. It's good. Had some holes in it. We had a lot of holes in the team this past week, but I'm going to give my Swiss cheese to Deshaun Kizer. There's a lot of people really piling up on him this week, wanting to tar and feather him. But you know what? This was the second time this season he was thrown into an emergency situation, did not get the majority of reps during the week. He was playing behind a depleted line that already got Aaron Rodgers hurt and out of the game and had no starting receivers. He came back in that second half, you know what, and he showed a lot of spunk playing with a skeleton crew around him. So, you know what, Deshaun, I don't know if he's the answer, but he's my Swiss cheese this week.
All right, I'm going to go with a really weird choice this week. No, he wasn't given an opportunity to score any points, and that's on the rest of the offense. But I'm going to give my Swiss cheese, oddly, to Mason Crosby, because after the fact, he jokingly offered to play quarterback. And I'm half tempted to think he might have been better than Deshaun Kizer. We'll never know. But he's going to get my Swiss cheese, at least for courage and pluck.
Okay, I got to say, you always have some interesting choices with some interesting reasoning behind your choices there. Mason Crosby. I am going to go with one CM3, Clay Matthews. Clay's been a mixed bag all year, but with 2 minutes left in last week's disaster and maybe his Packers career, who was out there hustling his backside off and playing hard? Clay Matthews. So you get my Swiss cheese.
All right, that was your Swiss cheese. Now we're moving on finally to our Limburger cheese. Foul-smelling, throw it away. My Limburger cheese, who else can it be? The 2018 Green Bay Packers. This is not the way you wanted to celebrate your 100th season. Big 100th season celebration this year. We're going to fire everybody. Let's hope that the 101st is a whole new start of a whole new century and the start of some more success in Titletown.
All right, my Swiss or my Limburgers is where I differ from CD. I'm actually going to give it to DeShone Kizer. Yeah, he didn't get a whole lot of reps. Yeah, he played with the B team. But isn't the whole purpose of a QB2 to be a understudy ready to step in at any in a moment's time? His one job was don't set the kitchen on fire while I go out to the mailbox. Well, we went out to the mailbox and came back, and the whole place was up in flames. Yeah, he gets my Swiss cheese, and I think he proved that we may need to look for a different QB2 next year.
And I'm going to close out the season with a Limburger cheese for Ron Zook, because we all thought Sean Slocum was bad.
So, hey, we've got a lot great more Packer talk coming up here on Cheesehead Radio, but first, a word from our sponsors.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
The Playbooks.
Oh, all right, guys. Season's over. What did we finish? 6-8-1 or 7-6-9-1? Just a miserable performance this year for a team that we thought going into the season had so much talent. Could be worse. We could be the Vikings. But regardless, we can't just measure ourselves, compare ourselves to the Vikings as much as we feel pretty good about that. A flat performance once again at home. Shut out 3 times at home this season, and the Lions have now swept us 2 years in a row. Just some general thoughts on what in the world happened in this game, Jersey Al.
In the game? My goodness.
Yes.
Where do we begin? I mean, I've got to be honest about one thing. When it got to 14-0, I probably missed half of the rest of the game. I just got distracted. I started watching watch parties on YouTube while managing the CZTV blog, while reading tweets, while looking at Facebook. I mean, I just 14-0 to the Lions. I semi-checked out, and I mean that never happens. So that kind of tells you the depths of sadness that I was experiencing. I mean, their defense was missing half the team. I get that, but really no excuse for the offense performing as poorly as they did, even when Rodgers was still in there. It was just a horrible, horrible look for this Green Bay Packers team, and one we haven't seen since, you know, way back when in the 70s and the 80s. So couldn't be happier that the season is over and we're ready to move on.
And I think that's the scary part, Jersey Allen, that, you know, when we watch the Packers lose earlier in the season or in past seasons, we get frustrated and angry and we're throwing things at the television set. There was just a resignation, you know, there was a lack of attachment. Yeah. And I think that's the scariest thing for if you're Mark Murphy and the Packers brass right now, the last thing you want to have is your fan base just start detaching and saying, you know, we're done. I know that there was a lot of open spots in the stadium. I know a lot of people in the stadium were saying, oh, no, we're full. It wasn't quite full. And by the end of the game, it certainly wasn't full. That's a tough situation, I think, to see that stadium not filled to the brim.
There was just a definite sense of apathy. And when after it just kind of ended, it was like, oh, thank God, the season's over. And I haven't felt like that since I was in high school and they were bad and they didn't go to the playoffs. I think, wasn't Rodgers' first season as a starter a 6-10 season as well back in 2008? I think it was. So we were close to it this year. Except then I felt really hopeful. This week, it was like, I didn't feel anything at all. You're right, CD. I normally am angry if we lose. I'm frustrated. I feel my blood pressure rising. Here, it was just almost a sense of relief that we could finally put the season to bed. And I feel bad that I didn't go, but I honestly didn't want to drive 3 hours there, 3 hours back for that.
There's a lot of talk on Twitter. You know, of course, we always have the I'm a true Packer fan. I'm a real Packer fan, and you're not a real Packer fan. And if you're rooting for those Packers to lose because you want better draft position, you're not a real fan, and I'm blocking you. And, of course, that whole diatribe has been going on for the past couple weeks. There was a sense of relief that I had that this game ended the way it did, maybe just because it should have. And I'm not saying it because I'm worried about draft position. Obviously, draft position is just picking the right guy at the right time, and you can get a steal at 23 just like you can get a bust at number two. But my fear was there was a lot of talk going in about, are we going to keep Joe Philbin? Maybe Joe Philbin's really doing a good job here. Ooh, should we keep Mike Pettine? I think this went a long way to say we need change and we need a clean slate. And right now this team is not mentally, emotionally together enough to play together as a team to execute for each other. And, you know, maybe if we would have completely shut out Detroit, we'd have been coming out thinking, hey, what can we salvage? What can we save? Maybe Joe Philbin's not that bad. I think maybe there was a reason things happened and we got shut out at home because no one was thinking, let's hire Joe Philbin. No one's thinking, well, let's save some people from the old regime. I think we know it's time to move forward. And I think that makes this, as you said, a very exciting off season. It's a very exciting off season. It's going to be a very tumultuous off season, but I think next year is going to be completely different.
I started to get really anxious when they were saying, oh, maybe Philbin should be the candidate. But Philbin is the old regime, and it's the mistakes and the complacency and the staleness that McCarthy brought to the team at the end of his tenure. And I think you're absolutely right. I think having them fall on their faces was finally the nail in the coffin and saying, we have to clean house entirely. Sure, maybe keep an assistant or two, but it has to be a completely different, reimagined Packers next year if we want to succeed. And as much as Philbin is a really stand-up nice guy, I really don't want him filling those shoes.
Yeah, I don't think you need to worry about that anymore. I think the Packers brass realize that it's got to be a clean slate. Personally, I'm a fan of Mike Pettine, and I wouldn't mind him getting another shot with a healthy team, with actually had some decent players. I think he could do a lot. I think early in the season, you saw him do a tremendous job in-game making adjustments. I mean, they got off to some poor starts to defense, but then they turned it around and played very well the rest of the game. But then eventually, there were so many injuries, there's not much you can do. But one thing that isn't really, I haven't seen anybody mention, and I think it's going to be a real benefit of cleaning house, is it also means we're going to get a whole new strength, conditioning, and training group in here. And, you know, with the injury issues that the Packers have had the last 4 or 5 years, I am 100% for that. I mean, it can't hurt to get some new voices and some new approaches in that department. So to me, that's kind of like an extra added plus of what's going on right now.
And when it comes to a strengthening conditioning coach, maybe this is my day job coming through. I would love somebody to be in that position who actually comes at it from strength and conditioning standpoint, not some guy that's getting his foot in the door in coaching and he's just getting one of the lower level coaching jobs. I want somebody who's like a physical therapist or an athletic trainer that has some of this background. It isn't just like lift some more weights, run a little faster, but there's some science behind it to help prevent some of these injuries. You know, with the CBA from, was it 2014? Is that the right year? Well, anyway, they have less contact time in practice. They have less drills. So I think you need to make the most out of it. And I think there needs to be some science behind it, as opposed to just being a meathead and grinding and pounding it until you break something.
Yeah, 100% agree.
You know what got me a little upset?
What?
Kind of going back to what you said about Mike Pettine. Gosh, he was good. And I don't know if Joe Philbin's necessarily a bad guy as an OC either. But it kind of goes back to this whole philosophy is we're going to fire everyone at the end of the 2017 season except Mike McCarthy. And so what do? We let him hire these really good coaches finally to replace the people that we let go. And Mark Murphy has this thing that no one can fire Mike McCarthy except me. And then he fires him after 12 games, which to me still blows me away. So here you are with Joe Philbin and Mike Pettine, who really almost didn't get a fair shake because they were put into a situation where technically they're part of Mike McCarthy's staff. And guess what? A new coach coming in should be able to pick his own staff. And the chances are he's not going to keep these guys, especially if we're going with the philosophy that we need a total clean sweep. So I agree with you. I think Mike Pettine was doing some really, really nice things with that defense when he actually had guys healthy, which wasn't very often. But I don't think he's going to get that chance. And to me, that goes back again to saying McCarthy should have gone with everyone else at the end of the 2017 season.
That's one of the reasons I want to see an offensive coach come in, because that'll give a much better chance that they might consider Pettine to stay as the defensive coordinator. And the other big reason is because obviously somebody, they got to bring in somebody that can manage Rodgers and just show him the way, basically, and say, look, this is our game plan. This is what you're going to execute. And this is how we're going to win. And it's not going to be you running around trying to carry everybody on your back. That's just not a formula for ongoing success. You could have some success doing that, and certainly the Packers have had success doing that, but obviously not enough, I don't think.
Well, I think him getting snot bubbled, you know, three drives in was exactly the reason we need to reimagine the offense. Because if it's going to be on his shoulders, everyone's going to be gunning for him, and he's just going to keep getting hurt.
And it's pretty clear that the Packers aren't much without him. I mean, they certainly couldn't do much without him last year. And with a hobbled Aaron Rodgers most of this year, and perhaps a disillusioned Aaron Rodgers most of this year, that offense really couldn't run with any level of synergy whatsoever.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Devontae Adams being held out? I thought that was an interesting pregame. He did practice during the week, but was held out. And then, as you mentioned, Aaron Rodgers going out right away too. Two pretty big injuries that kind of set the tone for the game.
Did Adams work out like before the game? Did they have like the usual thing where they test him out to see if they can go, or was he declared out before that point?
I saw posts on social media fairly early in the morning, so I don't know. I'm thinking it was an early decision or a Saturday decision, because it was one of the first things I saw when I woke up that morning.
But yeah, he was a full participant during the week, so that was interesting.
And that bums me out, because for CD and I, you know, we were coming of age during the Sterling Sharp era, and it was really cool that we had this rock star receiver that set this record. And it was kind of fun to see if somebody could actually chase it, you know, pushing 30 years later. Yes, CD and I are old. So I'm kind of sad for Devontae, but I think he'll have another crack at it next year, but it still kind of stings a little bit.
We've really seen over the years, particularly since the Super Bowl, but he even really had that before the Super Bowl, he really keys in on a receiver. And for years, I think you guys remember, it was Jordy Nelson. How many times do we start out a season where Jordy Nelson was leading the league in targets? I mean, Aaron Rodgers just looks for him all the time. And I was watching some film just of the season this year, and the number of times I'm watching guys go open, you know, those checkdowns, while he's keeping his eye on Devontae Adams, he really does right now like to get that ball to Devontae, just like he used to get him to Jordy a couple years ago. So when Devontae went out, I don't think he had his go-to guy. And I think that's where you see some of those struggles that he had at the beginning of the game.
Well, look at where he was during Super Bowl 45.
What?
Yeah, I think of that.
Did I miss a few years?
Yeah, apparently.
I hope that's not the next time we go to the Super Bowl. Holy cow.
Come on, Roman numerals, they screw me up. Wait, 45, you know, 2011. I think of that cover of Sports Illustrated, and everyone's kind of showing it now that Cobb's the end of the era. I don't think he had to rely on one particular receiver back then, because he had such a depth. When it came to the entire receiving core, he knew he could throw it to Jennings or Donald Driver or Randall Cobb or Jordy. You know, he didn't
young
have to.
Young Jordy, yeah.
Because look at some of the plays that happened. There was, I think it was one pass, and I forget what quarter it was because I was in and out of the game this week, that went to Ecumenius St. Brown. And it was a back shoulder pass that he completely did not get. And I thought to myself, and I tweeted out, it had this gone to Devontae Adams, it would have been, you know, no problem. So I think he had to rely on him out of necessity because Cobb was gone a lot of the season. And then it was Devontae and a bunch of baby wide receivers because even Geronimo Allison was gone. So I think you end up targeting the one person you know who's going to catch the ball consistently. So I think that's why it happened. I don't know if he necessarily has a favorite, but he knows that when push comes to shove, you have a better chance of getting a bigger play if it goes to Devontae.
Yeah, I mean, he's the one guy that he can depend on to run the route and be where he expects him to be because that's where he's going to put the ball, right? So, but, you know, the irony of it all is remember how everybody wanted to run Devontae Adams out of town, right? His second season when he came back.
First season.
You know, he had so
particular.
Well, second season too, because everybody expected him to like, all right, you've gone through that first rookie season and now it's time. And he didn't show what everybody expected. And he went through a really rough stage of games there, like three or four games where people just wanted to run him out and look at him now. So on the one hand, you have to say, all right, we've got all these young rookie receivers. Let's give him another year or two, you know, and hopefully Rodgers can find that cohesion with them that he's found with Adams.
So let's talk about those rookie receivers. Now it's the off season. Obviously, it makes perfect sense to bring them all into camp, but let's rank them. Why don't we? You've got MVS, you've got Ecumenius St. Brown, you have Touchdown Jesus, who returned and actually contributed, Jay Kumaro from UW-Whitewater, and then there's a great big separation between them and the other guys. So who would – where I'm going to assume Geronimo – do we keep Geronimo is the first question.
I think so, because I think Rodgers was actually starting to develop that trust with Allison. The last few games that Allison played, when I remember some plays in big spots, you know, big third down spots where Allison hadn't done much during the game, but Rodgers looked for him in those spots, and they made the completions that they needed to make to get the first down, and that was sorely lacking the rest of the season. So I definitely think that Allison has a future with this team. So I'll vote yes, he's back. CD?
Oh, I definitely think so. I assume that we're saying that Cobb is no longer with the team. Geronimo probably moves up to the number two. Is that what you guys would agree with?
Most likely.
My head says yes, but this is where I become an insufferable homer. I'm like, well, could Cobb basement bargain negotiate? But my guess is, yeah, he'll be gone. And if that photograph that was going around the internet of Rodgers and Cobb, with all the fields any indication, they both know he'll be gone.
But Cobb isn't that old. He's still, what, 28, 29 maybe?
Yeah, he's young. So if he's
so
healthy,
he's got value to another team. I could see another team giving him a three-year deal, you know, which probably the Packers do not want to do. So I think that's one of the reasons why he's likely done with the Packers.
Yeah, he's going to be chasing the money.
Yeah.
So
as he
should,
you know, it'll be his last chance for a good contract. So
who do you think plays the slot next year then? Because that was definitely Cobb's niche. And
Touchdown Jesus.
Touchdown Jesus. I love him.
I think he's got ability. I think he's a good route runner. He catches everything thrown to him. I think he's going to come on next year. I really do.
Yeah, I really hope he makes an impact in camp and actually can play a full season with the Packers.
Yeah, well, as long as he doesn't try to do a flip in the end zone in preseason, then he'll probably be okay.
And don't break anything. Don't hurt anything.
I hope he learned his lesson, right?
So that's three. So we've got Nelson, not Nelson. We've got Adams, Allison, and Kumaro.
Kumaro, EQ, MVS.
Those are the ones that really stand out.
Yeah, you have these other two guys, EQ and MVS, and they're rookies.
You know,
and they're late round draft picks. You can't expect them to come in and automate. I mean, if it took Adams 2 years, 3 years to get there, you certainly can't expect these guys to do it. What I'm really hoping for is you have Adams, and you're going to have a new attitude with a new coach, and I hope it's going to be that old Ron Wolf attitude of, you're here for as long as it takes for me to find someone to replace you, so you better impress me. And I'm really interested to see, especially what those two rookie receivers, well, I should say those three, will do against Geronimo, that if they come back and they say, hey, we're playing for our lives here, we're playing for our jobs, and he's probably going to draft two more wide receivers in the draft this year. I think there's a lot of talent there. I think you saw some real potential with MVS. I think you saw some real potential with St. Brown. And I think as those guys develop their A, ability to run their routes solidly, and B, learn how to extend plays, they may pass up Geronimo. Who knows?
Well, I think comparing Adams' first year or two and MVS, I think that's a fairly decent – I think MVS might be just a little ahead of where Adams was at this point. So I think we have the potential for another dream team like SI cover where you've got this whole, you know, cadre of fabulous receivers, but, you know, they're still in development. Give them a couple of years, and I think we'll be back to where we were around 2010, 2011.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Only difference is Aaron Rodgers will be in a walker in this photo shoot. But
yeah, that's true. You know, if he can go without getting clobbered, you know, if he's healthier like a Brady, he could extend his career. You know, did anybody know in game that's like, oh, by the way, he went to the hospital? Shh, double top secret.
Was that referencing that the rumor that somebody in a Packers uniform left the field in an ambulance or left the stadium in an ambulance? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, and I think about this, and it's like, what
has
is
that
the one
been
thing?
Confirmed?
A couple different outlets mentioned it. I don't know if they ever verified it, and there was also talk that he was there at the end of the game. The only reasons you would go to the hospital are things that they don't have at Lambeau Field. They have X-rays at Lambeau. The one thing they don't have there is a CT scanner. And if he was there, so let's say it was true and he went. The only thing I could think of is it his head or is it his neck? If he was that out to lunch that they wanted to CT his head, he would not have been back. But I could see possibly, you know, if he had a really tingly arm or something, or had some acute neurological thing, maybe they did a quick CT of his neck. I don't know. I don't know if it was ever verified, but a couple different media outlets were saying it happened. Either way, it wasn't anything severe, I don't think, because if the rumors were true that he was back in the locker room before the end of the game, I don't know if he actually won at all.
Yeah.
Conspiracy.
CD, did you notice anything?
No. Nope.
Were you looking, watching with the binoculars and see if anybody came out of Lambeau Field? Or?
I didn't, no. The rumors were out there that an ambulance came and took him, so, but, right. You know. I'm just to the point where it's like, you know, it's time to move on with this season, this game, this.
It's like, ooh, let's talk conspiracy theories, though, because they're kind of fun.
Well, you know what else
they're
is kind of fun?
Tweeting?
Let's get to this week's Tweets of the Week.
Yeah.
Packer Tweets from Packer Peeps.
It's time for our Packer Tweets this week. We're all going to give you some of our favorite tweets of the week, and at the end, we're going to vote on which one's going to be this week's Tweet of the Week. Can't vote for ourselves, so we'll have a winner unless we have a tie. Kelly, we're going to start with you.
Yeah, rules. We don't need no stinking rules. I'm not going to do a tweet. I'm going to do a Facebook post from a friend of mine because he actually was brave enough to go to the game. So this is going out to my buddy Nate, who said, the last edit season, fill in the blank how you choose, it's cold, half the starters are out, and we're getting smoked by the terrible Lions. Lambeau fans' response, F it, let's do the wave for 10 solid minutes. Only at Lambeau would you do the wave for 10 freaking minutes.
I guess it's funny because, you know, I'm from Northeast Wisconsin, so I guess we just still think the wave is really cool up here. I guess, yeah, I listen to these national people talk.
They still do
the wave? Yeah, we do. I bring my kids to games. They think it's the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, my 12-year-old's like, oh, we're doing the wave. Let's do it. I'm like, no, sit down low. It's kind of not cool. Park your butt, kid.
It's always cool in Green Bay. My tweet this week comes from the one and only Aaron Nagler, who went rather powerful on this tweet. Come, tie your professional viability to an aging quarterback who will petulantly throw you under the bus after a 22-0 victory if he doesn't approve of the game plan while failing to acknowledge his own shortcomings in the offensive malaise, the Packers pitch to potential head coaches. Feel strong.
I cannot wait till it's the vogueness of bagging on a single player is really passing. Like, let it go. He's not the only problem. He doesn't play defense, and he sure as hell isn't on special teams.
All right. I'm going to go with an old friend, Chris Lempesis, used to be known as Old Bag of Donuts, now just Lemps MKE, who tried to explain how it was enduring watching the game. He tweeted out, "We should all get 50% off vouchers for one purchase at the pro shop for watching this garbage." Giving back to the fans.
Well, they should be maybe 100% off at this point. All right, let's go through and vote for our top tweet of the week. Kelly, you can't vote for yourself. Who are you going with?
I want to go with Donuts because I totally agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. One vote for Donuts.
I am also going to go with Donuts.
Oh.
So, Al, who are you going to vote for?
I was actually not going to go with Donuts because it's my own. But anyway.
I can't.
Because I want to acknowledge the Nagler tweet, because I don't know that I've ever seen a tweet with more different variations of snark and sarcasm in one tweet. I mean, there's so many levels in there that I think it's just brilliant. So I've got to give my vote to him. But Donuts wins.
And he's got this week's Tweet of the Week.
Tweet of the Week.
All right, so we're out of this season, and obviously the first thing on everyone's mind has got to be, who are the Packers going to get for a head coach? Now, it's funny because, you know, we fired our coach 4 weeks ago, and we've been sitting here kind of twiddling our thumbs waiting for the season to end. So now suddenly the interview requests are starting to come flowing in. The first thing I want to go through is I just want to ask everyone, what is your critical attribute? I mean, what are you looking for? What do you think this team needs right now as we transition to a new coach? Al, what is your critical attribute?
What I'm looking for from a coach, I want an offensive coach, first of all. I want a guy who's going to get Rodgers to stick to the game plan, and I want the game plan to be situational play calling. Call the right plays for the right situation. Third and two, I don't want to see shots down the field in 20-yard routes. I don't want to see that. I'm all for big plays, but that's not when you do it, okay? You watch, actually, CD, you tweeted out a link to a video on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
What was it called? NFL Film Room, I think is what they call it. And
yes,
the guy did just a masterful comparison of the Packers and the New England Patriots when they played, and what they did in the same situations, you know, second and seven, the Packers are throwing 25-yard deep out routes with impossible throws. The Patriots are getting a running back out wide on a linebacker and getting an easy first down throw, and just one thing after another like that. And it was very well done. The guy's name is Brett something, NFL Film Room, he calls it on YouTube. So check that out if you haven't seen it. Actually, I'm going to link to it in my Polluted Mindset column tomorrow on Cheesehead TV. So you can find it there if you like. But so that's one big thing is that's always been my biggest complaint about Mike McCarthy is situational play calling. I disagree so often with the type of calls that he would make in those situations where it's important to just extend the drive, not give the ball back to the other team. It's hurt them so much through the year. So I got off track there. I got on my McCarthy thing. But in any case, back to the new coach. Somebody's got to channel Rodgers in and say, this is our game plan. This is how we're going to execute it. When we have a chance to get a first down and continue the drive, that's what you're going to do. You're not going to look for 25-yard out routes. That's number one, okay? Number two, I want a guy who's going to bring in a good defensive coordinator if he doesn't pick Mike Pettine, and let him do the job and not try to get involved with the defense as McCarthy did the last couple of years, thinking that, oh, he needed to get more involved with the defense, and didn't agree with that either. Other attributes for a coach, I'll tell you one thing I don't want. I don't want a college coach. I don't want an inexperienced coach. I want someone who's going to be able to come in and manage this all-pro, all-everything quarterback and what should be a good offensive team. That was more like a McCarthy rant than a coach, but anyway.
Well, you got to get it out of your system somehow.
I do. It's going to be a long time. You're going to hear this again, I think.
It was cathartic for him, though.
It was. Maybe. It was. I don't think what I'm going to say for a coach is going to really be that much different from what you have said. I want a coach who's visionary. And in that, I want him to come in with a philosophy of what he wants to see on offense, particularly in how this team is going to function as an offense. There's too many times Aaron Rodgers goes back. You feel like he's calling the plays, but you feel like he's playing backyard football. It's, all right, you guys go out, and I'm just going to sit back here until I find someone open, and I'll decide who I pass it to. And the offensive linemen are just trying to hold their blocks. Receivers are running their routes and then just trying to get open. They're not doing anything to help Rodgers, and Rodgers has not done much to help himself this year. So I don't care if a coach comes in and says, Aaron Rodgers, I'm just going to let you call the plays, but this is the vision for what we're doing as an offense. And after every series, we're going to come back and we're going to have a conversation about what we're calling. So either I'm calling it and you're going to do it without complaining, but if you're going to call it, it's according to the vision of our offense. And that's a hard thing to do, most likely with a quarterback who's been doing what he's wanted to do for the last 13 years. I think also you have to get a coach who's really going to work with the buy-in with the team. You do have this country club atmosphere. There's been a lack of accountability. Someone else comes in, and it's very easy for someone to shrug off and say, oh, this is how I've been doing it. I really prefer this play. I like this route. I like this drop back. I like this call. I don't want to change the names of my plays. No, we got to buy in. And that includes number 12, but it includes everyone else too, offense and defense. And the other one I think that's been brought up is discipline. There's been a lack of accountability. There's been a sense that people can have very average play. And I hate to pick on Clay Matthews, but he can go out there and just play an invisible game. And he's still playing, and he's still starting, and he's still making $9 million a year. There has to be that sense of accountability that says, if you are not playing well enough, I'm bringing someone else in to replace you, and you can take your $9 million and sit on the bench. I think when you have that attitude, you shake up that whole country club atmosphere that's there, and this team is ready to start playing cohesively to win again. That's what I'm looking for. Kelly?
I want somebody that really reimagines the offense. And I'm assuming this isn't a coach for Rodgers. This is a coach for the long haul. So he's not necessarily creating an offense around Rodgers, but I think it incorporates Rodgers. You know, we need to be a little more diverse in our play calling, just like both of you said. I think it needs to be, you know, no 30 plays scripted out or whatever McCarthy did. You know, it falls apart, we still stick to the script. It needs to be able to adapt and evolve as the game demands it to. It isn't, we'll adjust at halftime. We adjust on the fly. So how do you get Rodgers in on that? Because, yeah, I think you guys both hit on it. He's stubborn. He's been running it how he wants to, and it's been kind of countercurrent to what McCarthy wanted to do. So I think first and foremost, you need a quarterback or a coach and his assistants that will, first of all, gain Aaron Rodgers' trust. Now, I'm not saying he's a diva that we have to bow down to, but I think he has to buy into it if anything's going to work. So if you get his trust, and you make that two-way conversation like you were hitting on, CD, it's the we aren't after each series we're going to sit down and talk. I think you can get him to buy in because he's collaborating. He isn't being dictated what to do. He also isn't the dictator. But if you make it a more of a collaboration, I think, and get his insight and also coach him on the fly. And I think this is a guy that they're saying is uncoachable. I think he's not uncoachable. I think he is rudderless, and I think it has been so, whether it was the country club atmosphere of, oh, let the quarterback be the quarterback. But I think he needs to be brought into line with and be the first person on the offense to buy in. And I think if we can do that, I think the offense will definitely improve by leaps and bounds. But yeah, I think I think we also need a coach that isn't sentimental and holds on to players a year or two too long. And I think we started to see that McCarthy had favorites. He didn't get rid of them and thought, oh, they'll just get better. When they get, they'll heal up. We can play them some more. If they phase out of the offense or the defense, I think it's time for them to go. Football is not one of those places that you need to be sentimental. It's one of these places you need to be forward thinking all the time. Just like you said, CD, with Ron Wolf, you're on the roster until somebody better comes along. And I think that really needs to be the message starting next year is, you're a placeholder, and if you're great, you can stay. But if there's somebody better, they're going to take your spot. And then finally, I think you need to find the right staff. And that's where I'm okay with getting rid of even Mike Pettine. It's if this coach has we need to let his Packers be created with his vision. And I think that means no interference from Mark Murphy. No interference as he develops his coaching. We all have favorites. We wish they could stay, but I think everybody needs to step back and let this coach form his staff. So I think we need to have some freedom. I think we need to have some set expectations. And I think those expectations need to be revisited every single week.
So let's finish up and take a look at some of our coaching candidates. And let's go through maybe just some of our highs and lows. I think this process is probably going to be, I'm hoping it's going to be probably around a week to 2 weeks. So we may have a chance to even do another show at some point and discuss this. But we got a couple guys out there that have not really had an interview set yet. One, of course, is Pat Fitzgerald, the coach at Northwestern, who I know that the Packers said they're interested in. He's come in and said publicly, I'm not interested, but still sounds like Murphy is going to really do a song and dance to bring him in. Al, you just said you do not want a college coach at all. So Fitzgerald, I guess, is fitting that mold.
First of all, yeah, it's Northwestern, and they've been a little hotter than I thought. But if you're going to bring in a college coach, I want somebody who's running a near-pro system already.
All right. Well, the other big name that's on everyone's list is obviously we've requested to interview both the offensive and defensive coordinators for those New England Patriots. Brian Flores, their defensive coordinator, is intriguing, and I think I've heard a couple of people say, hey, he may not be that bad of a choice. But, of course, the big name that's on everybody's list right now is Josh McDaniels. The former coach for the Broncos didn't have a great season there. Really tarnished his image with this business with the Colts last year where he said, hey, yes, I agree to be your coach. And what is it, 24 hours later said, I was just kidding. I'm going to go back and be an offensive coordinator. That's really left a bad taste in some people's mouth. That video that I posted today, he's really ingenious in terms of how he coaches and how he puts players in a position to help each other. So there are reports saying right now, Kelly, that it's Josh McDaniels' job to lose. He's coming in for an interview on Friday. What do you think?
I'm one of those that's kind of got the bad taste in my mouth. I want to like him, but I just don't. And I don't know if it's something irrational, but it's something visceral. It's like I worry that if we brought him in, we'd lose him as soon as Bill Belichick retires and he'd go back to New England. So that's me just being jaded. I think he could have a lot to contribute, but it's just something that rubs me the wrong way.
Al?
Yeah, I don't really care about what happened back there with Indianapolis. I think he would be a very good coach for what we need and what Aaron Rodgers needs. So I would be definitely on board with bringing him in.
All right. I also think he's probably the guy that has the job to lose at this point. Another interesting request has been Matt LaFleur. Any thoughts on LaFleur, Jersey Al?
I wouldn't mind LaFleur so much. You know, he's worked under the hot names, you know, the Shanahans and the McVays. So he's from that tree, and obviously those young coordinator types are all the vogue now. I don't know about, you know, if he's got what it takes to handle a quarterback like Aaron Rodgers personality-wise, you know. That's the thing about hiring a younger guy like that. So I like where he comes from an offensive standpoint, but I'm a little hesitant about the relationship standpoint with Rodgers. But I would take it.
Kelly, Steve LaFleur. Oh, that's dodgeball. Matt LaFleur.
Don't make me taste my own blood, LaFleur. Yeah, he'd be okay, but he's not really my first choice. In fact, I just realized my first choice just signed a 5-year contract extension at Oklahoma tonight. So I guess my choices are moot. Yeah, I don't know if he would mesh well with Rodgers. That's my biggest issue. I think he'd be good for the overall team. But like I said earlier, you need to find a coach that's really going to get Rodgers to buy into a new regime and to bring him in line. And I don't know if LaFleur could do that.
Well, another name that's actually coming in for an interview this Saturday is Dan Campbell, and I believe he's with the Saints right now. An interesting choice. Any thoughts on Dan Campbell?
Well, he's actually in my top three. You know, I think he's done I think he's done a really good job the last 2 years where he's been. And, you know, if he could do for Aaron Rodgers what he did for the Saints and Drew Brees, I'm all for it.
And he's intriguing. You know, he definitely has the pedigree. He's had the experience. He's been an assistant head coach. He's been an interim head coach.
He's known as a no-nonsense type of guy, which I like.
So, yeah, I'd probably put him in my top three. It's just nobody's really rising to the top. It's like, ooh, I really, really, really want this guy right now. But I think he could fit the bill. I think he could be the quarterback whisperer. I think he's got the leadership skills, and I like his discipline. So, yeah, I think it's a definite possibility.
I guess one guy who's not on the interview request list, but I think still has to be brought into the conversation is Adam Gase, who was just recently fired as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. And maybe a little bit like Mike McCarthy, everyone's going to be clamoring to get this guy in for an interview. He's a young kid, 40 years old, but you know, definitely looked at as being an offensive guru who really didn't have a very good setup, a very good system. And people are saying he only, you know, come to the Packers, you got a much more supportive fan base and a hopefully a relatively healthy front office. He's not on the interview list yet, and I know he's got some interviews already at Denver. Is this a guy that would be on either of your top threes?
Not really in mine, no.
I think it'd be worth at least interviewing him just to see what his philosophy is. I don't know if we need to go beyond that, but I'm curious.
Okay.
And part of me thinks this is who we're going to end up with, but I don't know why. But that's just kind of who I feel like we're going to get stuck with. I think I need to know more about him because we're talking about, yeah, he's got potential. He's got a good offensive mind. Is it that he failed in Miami because he just didn't have the talent, or did it fail because his vision didn't work? And, you know, when you've got somebody that just recently was fired, I kind of want to find out and kind of post-mortem his last season a little bit more before I make a sound decision.
So who are your top three?
So my top three coaches or candidates for the coaching job is number one, Josh McDaniels, number two, Dan Campbell, and number three, Matt LaFleur. Those are my three. I don't care about anyone else.
All right. My top three, probably similar names in the same order. I would say Adam Gase is up near my top. I'm going to give it to Josh McDaniels as my number two and Steve LaFleur as my number three.
Matt LaFleur.
I know, but I kind of really want LaFleur just so we can do all the dodgeball jokes all the time.
Okay.
Think of all the great things I'm going to make next year if we have that.
If you can dodge a wrench, you can dodge a ball.
Kelly, who's your top three?
I think Dan Campbell just moved up to number one, followed by Josh McDaniels. And then I guess Adam Gase. It's like I start to get wishy-washy, and this is where I really stink at. What exactly do we want? Let me talk to you and interview a little bit more. I wish, you know, I would love to be a fly on the wall during the interview process.
Let's get to our Hot Pockets.
Okay. Hello, entitled Packer fan base. This is what the 80s felt like, just so you know. And I often wonder what would social media be like back around 1988, 1989, when they were starting to rise, but they still really weren't that good and still didn't make the playoffs. And I think it's time to move on.
all teams have highs and lows, and right now we're definitely in one of those troughs where things seem like they're awful and you want to get rid of everybody. And I think we should get rid of a lot of people, not just coaches. I think some of the, you know, I think a lot of the personnel that were holdovers from the previous regime should probably be sent packing, and I think that's okay. But I think what we really need to do is start focusing on those franchise players. I know CD had a great post or tweet this week talking about who you should be building a team around, and I think that's really what we should be focusing on. People like Aaron Rodgers and Devontae Adams and Bakhti. Implement that. We're going to get the number 12 pick, and we all have been saying we want a secondary. But what if one of those blue chip linemen from UW-Wisconsin, and we've got two first-round draft choices, fall into our laps? Can we strengthen that offensive line? And likewise on defense, who do we build the defense around? It's obviously going to be somebody like Kenny Clark, and J.R. Alexander, and maybe Mike Daniels, and Blake Martinez. But I think Blake is still a placeholder until something better comes along as well. Who do we find in free agency? Who do we find in the draft? And I think we have to find people that are ready to go day one. But I think you're going to see a completely reimagined Packers next week. I think that's okay. I think it's okay to let go of players we like on both sides of the ball. Because we've hit that rock bottom, and the only way is up at this point. So I think the most hopeful thing that can happen is we have our GM very aggressive in free agency, and that's going to be sooner than you realize, and make some sound decisions instead of trading down to get a bunch of sixth-round draft choices that nobody cares about. Let's get it right the first time with our two first-round picks. So here's the 2019. It's got to be better because it can't get any worse, and that is my
Hot Pocket.
Well, my Hot Pocket this week, we're going to go back and refer to that great YouTube video that Jersey Isle is going to post tomorrow. It was by Brett Coleman, but it was actually kind of inspiring for me to really think about what this offense needs and how it's been lacking. One thing that he really went through to say is that how easy it is for us as Packer fans to point a finger at one thing. It's all Aaron Rodgers' fault. It's all the receivers missing passes. It's him throwing plays out of bounds. It's the play calling. It's Mike McCarthy. And what he really analyzed and made me understand is it's not one big thing. It's all of the little things together. And that's really that cohesive synergy that you want in a team. The other thing that I thought was really interesting is that by doing the contrast with Tom Brady and the New England offense, who we had played that week when he made the video, it was fantastic. It really was. It showed you that you can have the great Tom Brady who can be surrounded by great players, but can also be surrounded by nobodies. But the nobodies know what they're supposed to do to make Tom Brady's job easier. It's easy to just be straightforward and say, oh, Tom Brady is a system quarterback. Well, he's not a system quarterback. He plays in an offense that in which all the players are helping each other out and making it simple. Simple for their blocking, doing what needs to be done at the time. Well, why would you make a rule that we're never going to use a fullback? Well, fullbacks are outdated. We don't use them anymore. Guess what? If you can put a fullback in and it makes the play work and you can pick up the third and two, put in the fullback. The name that they kept saying over and over again, who's doing such a great job putting a wide receiver, Cordell Patterson, in the backfield to run the ball, or taking a running back and putting him out wide to draw a linebacker to the outside, kept saying the same name over and over again. Josh McDaniels, Josh McDaniels, Josh McDaniels. I think you can see why, especially after that game, why Josh McDaniels' name has risen to the top of the list. And if he can do for the Packers what he did for the Patriots, Aaron Rodgers could end up having a really, really good year next year. And that is my
Hot Pocket.
All right. The Packers have finished with two straight losing seasons, which hasn't happened since 1990 and 1991, those infamous Lindy Infante years just before Mike Holmgren and Brett Favre arrived on the scene. While those were bleak years for the Packers, there's really not much of a comparison to what has happened the latter part of the last two seasons with a team led by a sure Hall of Fame quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. Getting shut out 31-0 at home by the then 5-win Detroit Lions team is as ugly a finish as we could possibly imagine. Thank goodness we all turned the page on our calendars to 2019 last night. While there was little to celebrate for the Packers in 2018, we can at least raise our glasses to toast and say, hey, 2019 couldn't be any worse, could it? Could it? And that is my
Hot Pocket.
All right. That's a wrap on the 2018 season, gentlemen. How about
wah,
that?
Couldn't
come soon enough.
Not a bang, but definitely a whimper. That's for certain.
All right. Well, let's wrap this one up. Yeah.
All right.
Second
so
horn.
All right. Thank you so much for joining us tonight on Cheesehead Radio in our ninth season. Can't believe it's over. Make sure to head over to PackersTalk.com where you can explore several unique Packer podcasts. Please follow at PackersTalkNet on Twitter and like us on Facebook. Cheesehead Radio and all Packers Talk podcasts are available on iTunes. Just Google Packer Talk iTunes and you'll find it. Be sure to subscribe and please leave us a review if you can. You can also listen to us by using Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, or your favorite podcatching app and search for Packers Talk. Finally, please be sure to support our sponsor, Ticket King. You can find them on the web, theticketking.com. That's theticketking.com. That's a wrap on the 2018 season. Go, Pack, go.
Go,
Pack,
go.
Hire a good coach.
Cheesehead Radio.